Everyone has a story worth telling. On man on the mic, the lessons are compelling. We uncover the journey, the highs and lows. It's your story that matters. It's how we grow.
Welcome to this special Christmas episode of Man on the Mic. Today we're celebrating the season of joy, love, and reflection. Whether you're gathered with loved ones, driving through snowy streets, or just taking a quiet moment for yourself, thank you for letting us be part of your holiday. Let's dive into the heart of what makes this time of year so meaningful. Merry Christmas, everyone.
So the song I'm about to sing is called Little Drummer Boy. And it's a known Christmas song, and a lot of people sing it because it's fun to sing. I sing it for a purpose because I kind of put myself in the little drummer's boy's shoes. Not, you know, growing up on a reservation, not having much, being poor. The best I could give if I was to ever meet Christ or, you know, someone like that is what I have on my back and my voice, right? I've been blessed with the talent to sing and to use that as a gift. And so that's why I chose this song. So
I love it.
Told me pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, a newborn king to see, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, too late before the king, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa. Rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. So, to honor him, pa-ra-pa-pa-pum, when we come. Little baby, pa-ra-pa-pa-pum. Pa-ra-pa-pa-pa. I have no gifts to bring, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, that's fit to give a king, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, ra-pa-pa-pa, ra-pa-pa-pa. Shall I play for you, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, on my drum? Merry nighty, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, the oxen lamb kept time, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa. I played my drum for him, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa. I played my bass for him, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, ra-pa-pa-pa, ra-pa-pa-pa. Then he smiled at me, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa. Me, my drum, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa, pa-ra-pa-pa-pa.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you. What's up, everyone? Hey, welcome back to another episode, special episode, holiday season. I wanted to kick off this holiday season with a special friend of mine to come on and share his gifts, his talents, and tell a little about his story and his life and how he's grown and where he is today. And so before we get into the meat of the podcast and what we're going to talk about, I want to give him a chance just to introduce himself a little bit and tell you about him.
What's up, everyone? My name is Abraham Thomas. I am originally from the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming. I'm half Native American, half Tongan. My tribe is Ogallala Lakota Sioux tribe. And I moved here to Utah, 2005. Another thing, that's a long time ago. I moved here to get to know my dad's side of the family, to get to know the Tongan side, and just to get away from res life. It was I was getting into a lot of trouble back at home and stuff, and there was really nothing for me back at home to grow. So I needed a new start. So moving to Utah was that start. Man, I moved here with $20 in the tank, not knowing what I was getting into. I went homeless for 6 months. But in that time, I don't think any decision that I made, I'm not regretful, because it taught me how to grow and find who I really am from the inside out. From there, reached out to some brothers of mine on my dad's side, and they took me into the family. And even though they're my brothers by blood, they were still kind of like strangers a little bit. And but the more I got to know them, the better I started feeling like family. Started working and start making a life for myself here in Utah. Met this beautiful woman. We have 4 kids together, and I wouldn't change a thing. Love being a father. Even though there's days I know my kids don't really like me, but regardless of every minute that I get with my kids, my wife and kids, is everything. Just everything about, from the ups and downs to, you know, being sick to proud moments. I tell my kids that I'm proud of them even when there's no proud moments to be proud of. You know, walk through the door and I tell my son, hey, I'm proud of you. Just so they know that I will always be there and love them, and I need them to know that. So, and then just, you know, I don't want to say recently, but I say 4 or 5 years ago, I start surrounding myself with people that inspire me, but also that I inspire them. And it's been a beautiful thing since. So, yeah, it's, I love me some Utah. At the beginning, I really didn't, but
yeah.
But now I love it, you know.
No, that's amazing. And thank you for joining me. I kind of want to start off and ask you, what was that experience like first coming to Utah?
Culture shock. Coming from a place where, I say, 80, 90% of people are Native, brown, to coming to a place where 90% are white.
Yeah.
It was a culture shock for me. I was hesitant on pretty much doing things, you know. When I did find a place to stay, the only place, there was a 7-Eleven, that's the only place I went to, was a 7-Eleven, and then back to the house. Because I didn't really know how to insert myself into this world,
yeah.
I guess, you know, because I was so used to Native stuff, you know, in that world. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to really speak, talk how I am now. But one thing that came to mind was, you know, my mom and my grandpa said, if you're going to go out into that world, you have to insert yourself into the white world to be successful.
Yeah.
You got to know their game. You got to understand them, and always show respect. Even when sometimes when you don't get it back, just give it. And so taking that into account, I started this job. It was a call center job. And it actually taught me how to speak properly.
Okay.
Because my first call was very kind of red slang. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard like red slang before, mm-hmm. but it's really, I don't know how to really explain it. It's like, for instance, an example, hop on the phone. Hey, how's it going? My name's Abraham, you know. I'm here and I just talked to you about this. And it's really, you know, I don't know how to really explain. We have our own little slang. And
yeah,
the boss was like, what was that? And I was like, that's who I am. And so he's like, all right, well, let's take some training. 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks about how to properly, you know, because if we're going to talk to people, we have to present ourselves in a certain way to get them what they need.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's do it, you know. And so it started from there. And, you know, I've always been a singer, whether it's native style or contemporary American style, whatever. And one of my goals from moving here was because of that, too, you know, to try to find my voice in music.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that Utah is all about music.
They
love it over here, you know. So from that experience to now, it all seems like a flash. Even though it was long ago, like I remember it like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quick. And so it was tough, but it was a good tough.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And like I said, I don't regret any of the choices I made, because I learned from even the bad choices, because I learned from them. And I apply that now to succeed.
Yeah.
In whatever I do.
And I think that's the biggest lesson that people need to learn, is life can suck at times. It can be hard at times, but it's for your growth. And if you can learn from it and not ask why, you know, why is this happening to me, but what did I need to learn from it? Then I feel like there's a different way that you can go through every situation we find ourselves. I'm curious. One of the things I love about you is, you know, you're open and you love to share your story with people. And for those listening to this, I'd love for you to share kind of what that experience was like for you growing up on the res and how that has impacted you.
Growing up on the res, I felt like, so I grew up, you know, with the mindset of being a warrior, right? Because we hold our culture dear to us, right? Our heritage. And we always remember what our people went through.
Yeah.
Well, at least, you know, I'll remember what my people, my ancestors went through for me to be where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't come to voice until I moved. Because back at home, we're kind of shy, we're closed off. There's been times where I've voiced that I'm struggling mentally, and most of those times I got shut down. Like, oh, stop thinking like it, you're crazy. Yeah. Thinking like that, acting like that, I'll slap it out of you.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so that kind of hardens you up. And that's who I was when I moved here. I never really had any emotions, right? Like, I was very, like, I know I was kind of like, look around, I'm like, say something about natives, I'll put you in a place quick.
Yeah, that hard.
Yeah, say something. What's up, you know? And so that was my mindset, and that was how I brought my res mentality here. And it's kind of stupid now that I think about it, like, but I'm glad I did it, because I've learned from it, right?
Yeah.
And now, if someone has a problem with my culture or my people or anything like that, I it hurts, but I choose not to be offended. I choose to educate instead, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll ask them, hey, could I talk to you about that? Can I, you know, because I'm from that, and those are my people.
Yeah.
Could I educate you on what happened in the past? Why mm-hmm. this, why that? And 9 times out of 10, a lot of them are like, yeah, you know, and afterwards they're like, hey, we're sorry, we're so arrogant about things that we're eating, da 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 da, you know. And it's so hard, because people that are not of my culture tend to tell me about my culture when I don't know anything about it, when they read it from books.
Yeah.
Why I read from here, it's facts, da 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 da. You guys come from here, da 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 da. And then I say, why, have you ever lived on the reservation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I don't need to. I'm sorry, but you're missing more than half the facts. Yeah. Like, you got to be from the place in order to give me judgment on that. That's not even, you know. And so having that, I didn't really have that voice back at home. One, because a lot of us, for me, and I speak for myself, I don't speak for my whole tribe, or I speak from my experiences. We really didn't have a voice as a young man or a teenager, because we get shut down. Two, because we're taught to be humble, and that's kind of showing off, right? Like, mm-hmm. don't do that stuff, you're showing off, you know?
Yeah.
And moving here, meeting my wife, she's the one that taught me, you know, accountability, vulnerability, these strengths that I didn't realize were strengths, and that I have a voice. I don't have to solve things with my fist, because that's how I solve it. Like, and afterwards we'll talk. You know, she's like, use your words. You know, it falls under the whole, what's that saying? The pen is mightier than the sword. Mm-hmm. You know, use your words. And so teaching myself to do that, teaching myself to grow, really taught me how to have a voice, you know, and to be a respectful man that I really wanted to be. Because back at home, there were spurts and moments where I'm just like, man, this feels great. But then once someone's like, dude, you were weak, and I hardened back up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, you're not going to hear me cry again. You're never going to hear me cry again, you know, once they use those words against me. Like, hey, you were crying last week, da, 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 da. You know, all right, you're not going to see that again, you mm-hmm. know. And I'd harden up. And so moving here, I had such a hard stature, like my presence and stuff. It took my wife to break that.
And soften you up.
Yeah, soften me up a little bit.
You know, that it's funny that you say that, because it reminds me of a story. I don't know if you even remember this, but I remember I saw you at the gym, and you had a shirt that said, be kind.
Yeah.
And you talked about, on the way to the gym, I don't know what happened, but someone cut you off, and you guys pulled over off the freeway, and you got out of the car, and you're ready to hit the person, or you start yelling, and then you looked at your shirt, and it said, be kind, and you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But it's just funny that, you know, a lot of people who get to know you understand that you're a gentle giant and full in love and stuff. And I always remember that story, because I've always been the same way on, you know, a hard outer shell and solve things with our fists. And, you know, and even society tells us as a man, you have to be tough and not show emotions, and you don't cry and do all of this, when in reverse, it's actually healthy to do that. And when you are showing your true emotions and being open and vulnerable, you're actually just being your authentic self. And people resonate when you're your authentic self, rather than, you know, when you have this hard shell. One of the things that I've realized, I was at an event, and in that event, the group of men I was with, they had to critique other people in the room. And the biggest thing people kept telling me is that they felt I was unapproachable. And to me, I'm like, wait a second, for my job, I talk nonstop. And you see me at the gym, I never shut up and say hi to people and everything. But I realized it was just the way that I conducted myself. And when I was there and they would see me, I wasn't fully present. I was there, but I was somewhere else mentally. Mm. And so learning to set my phone to the side and be able to just be there and be present and not just listen to the people, but to hear them, it brought down so many walls and so many layers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious for you is what, I guess, from your experience moving here and with your wife and having to break down your own walls and stuff, what advice do you have to people out there who, you know, have that hard exterior?
Yeah. Allow yourself to open up. I think a lot of us use the term soften up. And for a lot of men that have been brought up in a house of that's been abusive, you know, that's been culturally toxic with a lot of stuff, and allow yourself to open up, allow yourself to receive those feelings you have inside, because our body speaks to us when we don't know it's speaking to us.
Yeah.
Allow those feelings to come out. If you have to cry, cry. If you don't like crying in front of people, find a place to cry and just let it out. I promise you, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
It's I kind of see it like having a cold, right? When someone says, I'm mad, I'm pissed. You know, and people are like, calm down, calm down. At the moment, I can understand, oh, you need to calm down because you're making a scene,
yeah. Right?
But if you're pissed off at home or wherever, allow yourself to be mad. Allow yourself to be pissed. Let it run its course like a cold.
Mm-hmm.
You get over it, you'll feel a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to cry, cry. If you're going to cuss, cuss.
Mm-hmm.
Let it all out.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I learned for myself. Like, if I allow it, my emotions, my body to work how it's supposed to work, I feel better afterwards. And I didn't realize that until I tried committing suicide, you know, not knowing that I was fighting with severe depression, you know, kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
And so I'm a huge advocate and a voice for depression and just telling my guys, you're loved.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, you know, you might not think so, but I'll tell you straight up to your face, I love you,
mm-hmm.
without thinking twice.
Yeah.
And I've done it many times. And there's some guys that are like, what'd you say? Like, uh-huh. I'll say you straight up, I love you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know me. I said, I don't got to know you to love you.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the guy inside that always wanted to come out. He was always, and the other guy was like, nah, keep staying there. You know?
Yeah.
Don't come out. That's weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And not only did I receive it from guys back at home, like, bro, okay. I received more of that from women.
Okay.
Like, you're weak. You're crying. You're yeah. weak, you know. And I didn't want to. I wanted to be that man for a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I received a lot of that from women. The same thing with racism, racist comments. Did someone ask me if I ever experienced racism? I said, yeah, I said, what are we talking about? Because there's a difference between being racist, prejudiced, arrogant. They're all different, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes we categories that we put those together and we say, oh, you're racist.
Yeah.
One big word, right? Or in fact, they're all separate. And so I said, yes, I've, you know, been called the names and stuff. And I said, but the majority of those names came from my own people, just because I'm half Tongan, right?
Yeah. So
I'm a little bigger, I'm a little darker. They see that I'm mixed, so they use that against me. And receiving that also hardened me up too, you know? And so, I mean, right now, that's the best advice I can give is allow yourself to be open, allow yourself to receive, allow yourself to understand other people's perspectives from, because they're looking from the outside too.
Yeah.
You know, there's many times that you look from the outside as well looking in. Take that same, put yourself in their shoes too,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if you choose to be offended, because it is a choice, know that with every choice you make, the consequence is going to come right with
yeah.
it. So, I mean, there's many times I'm like, if I do this, this consequence is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where I accepted that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's get it, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, and I think you're right. It really comes down to you choose to be offended.
Yeah.
Because I tell people, being black, being in Utah, I mean, there's some days where I have offensive looks, gestures, whatever it is, every single day. And I could choose just to be angry every day. But I've come to know, you know, I don't necessarily think people are racist. They're just not educated.
Mm.
And they've never been around someone like this. They've never seen someone like this outside of TV. And so they just don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job is, if I choose to get angry or react a certain way in that circumstance, that's the only interaction they've ever had.
Yeah.
And now it sits with the person. Now they think, oh, angry black person there, you know, and then they put you all in the same thing. And I'm like, in that moment, if I choose to teach, if I choose to smile, if I choose to be nice, then that's the first interaction they've had. And then the next person they come across, they interact or they feel a different way because of that experience. And so, you know, it's an amazing chance that we have to be able to teach. And some days it can be annoying. And some days, you know, I just have to put my head down and move on because you're not in the mood to converse mm-hmm. or to teach or have to take that responsibility. I want to pivot the conversation a little bit. And being around the Christmas season, the holiday season, I'm curious because I feel like everyone has a different answer, but I would love to know, what does Christmas mean to you?
Man, so many meanings to Christmas. Again, I grew up poor. Christmas, the meaning of Christmas for me is family. One example is when I was 9 years old, I got an orange and a banana for Christmas. That was my gift. Which I was grateful for because we don't have a lot of oranges and bananas on the res, right? Like, uh-huh. So I'm like, I'm eating this up. This is good stuff right here. But what mattered to me is that my mom and my sister were right by my side. And I don't know where or how my mom would make it happen, but there was always food on Christmas Day and we would eat. And so my gift was my mom and my sister.
I love that.
And so I'm trying to teach that to my kids now. I'll be honest, like we spoil our kids. You know, I don't teach. Sometimes I don't practice what I preach.
Yeah.
I just let my emotions take over. Like, oh, my kids got to have a gift. They got to. My pride is too much to be like, here, take this banana. This is your gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now they need to know that lesson. They need to know the meaning of Christmas. It's to give, not to receive. Because for me, I never was really religious, very spiritual. And reading the scriptures with my wife, it hit me later. I don't know why things are hitting me later on in life, because I've heard it a million times, right? Heavenly Father gave us the greatest gift. That was Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Right? And as a father, if I was to give my son to someone, strangers, you're right? I first of all, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's my baby, right? And to see what he went through, I'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so it just really opened up a life for me. And I tell my kids, hey, be grateful for what you get. And don't murmur for things that you don't have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a consistent thing that we got to stay consistent with my kids. And I feel like my two older ones are getting it, right? This year, what are we going to try to do to give? Whether it's a hug, whether it's a smile. That's why I do music, because it's a gift, right?
Yeah.
I'm giving it to you. You know, one of the biggest icons in music told me that what I have, my talent, my gift that I have is not mine. You know, the Great Spirit, Heavenly Father gave that to me to give, yeah. Not to hold for my own. Not to be selfish with it, give it. Because you don't know who's struggling out in the congregation. You don't know who's thinking about suicide. You don't know who lost someone. They use that gift to build them up.
Yeah.
So give it. And that icon was Gladys Knight. You know, she told me, I'm like, oh, man. You know, she really put me in my place on that, mm-hmm. You know. And so that's what Christmas means to me. It means the true meaning of it is to give and family.
Yeah.
You know, every year, my wife, my mother-in-law, whoever, what do you want for Christmas? I just want you guys want to be together.
Yeah.
Eat food. Because a lot of the times you look from the outside looking in, you see all these families getting together. You don't see the families that are not getting together. Mm-hmm. The people in the military, mom and dad's over there, you know, serving the military, missing out to be with their families, right? We don't see that mm-hmm. until it's taken away.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, that's what true meaning of Christmas is.
I love that. I think it's so true. I think, especially living in America, having lived in Africa for 7 years of my life, I think we get wrapped up in the material things.
Yeah.
And we want, you know, a fancy new car or a new phone or whatever it may be. And it's like, guys, there are so many people out there that are way happier than we are with nothing.
Yeah.
because they've come to know and understand that family and being together are the most important things. And I think, you know, my challenge for anyone listening to this this Christmas season is just give more than you receive and more than you take.
Just give.
And it could be a hug, a smile, a text, a phone call, because you're right. We really don't know what people are going through and who's battling what. And a simple smile at the grocery store or a simple text to a friend we haven't talked to in forever could change the way that they feel that day within that moment.
Kindness, right? Kindness is free.
Yeah.
Give it. I had a thought and I just lost it. It was an experience that I had. I just lost it. But I learned from being a grown up and, you know, as a kid, you learn from the adults, right? As an adult, you really don't learn. Well, at least you don't think. You don't learn from the younger ones.
Yeah.
Because you want to be the person, the guy, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be the person with the answers and da-da-da-da. But after having kids, I've learned so much from my kids. You know, when I coach my son's football team, I learned a lot from my players. And so as a parent, you're going to learn from younger people.
Yeah.
And we got to let go of that pride as a parent. We got to let go of that to receive that from our kids.
Yeah.
You know, because our own kids teach us every day. I tell my kids, me and your mom, we're not the perfect parents, but we try.
Yeah.
Right? Meet us halfway sometimes, you know. And I feel like right now I'm trying to get rid of the cultural, what is that word? Toxicness, I guess. Mm-hmm. The habits are traditions.
Yeah.
And just know that it'll be okay. Like I need to, because a lot of those traditions that we had would put me in a shame box, right? And that's a dark box.
Yeah.
It's lonesome in there, you know? And I hung out, you know, I'm a member of the church, Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. We do that too.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't serve a mission, you're shunned.
Yeah.
You hang out in that shame box for not serving a mission,
for
being a sinful person.
Yeah. Or if you come home early or whatever it is.
Come home early, you slip up and got a girl pregnant or vice versa or whatever. You come out the closet. Oh, shame, 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 shame.
Yeah.
You know? Sorry, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the best advice that was given to me was you're part of a beautiful gospel, a true gospel. You're not a part of a true church. And I questioned that. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And the more I thought about it, I'm like, hey, you're right. Anything that man is part of is not going to be true because we're sinful people. That's why we go to church. It's not for the perfect. It's not for, you know, it's for the people that try.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the people that slip up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know a lot about homosexuality. All I know is I just need to give love.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I got friends that are homosexual. I got family, you know. I'm not the smartest person. Scientists can't break what, why this and that and that and that. I just gotta love. That's what it is. I just give love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to judge or say anything or anything like that. I mean, some people really act like it's a disease.
Yeah.
Like, really? You know, they're humans too.
Listen, just have a conversation with them. They're like every other person.
They're humans too. They require love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us get caught up on a sin. Oh, this is sin. This is sinful. Da da da. You got to repent. Da 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 da. We forget about God's love.
Yeah.
And that trumps everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He still loves.
Yeah.
My man's here that's gay. He still loves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I've you know, had these talks with people, because you don't know. Some people are like, hey, you're Mormon, da, 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 popping off. Do you know what it really means to what goes on in the churches?
Yeah.
You know? Well, no. I invite you to come and check it out.
Dude. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't tell you how many people look at me like, you're black and Mormon? Do you know how they feel about blacks and this? And I'm like, I don't go to church for the people.
Mm-mm.
I go for the gospel and for a chance to be more like my Savior Jesus Christ and follow the path that he has set and the example that he has set. And, you know, I was just having a talk the other night with a buddy who, you know, came home from a mission early and is struggling and everything. And I'm like, look, the people are not perfect. The gospel, the doctrine is sound and is perfect, and that's what you need to believe in. And people are going to make mistakes and have faults and say things they shouldn't. And it's just the way of the world. It's the way of the natural man. And, you know, I think that's also a reason why a lot of people do leave the church, is a person says something that offends them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, is that scripture? Is that doctrine?
Yeah.
Like, we allow people to offend us, and it takes us away from what we know to be true and what we believe in.
Yeah. I allowed it. I fell away from the church for 13 plus years because I allowed, when the bishop brought up some racist remarks about me and stuff, I said, peace out.
Yeah.
I was in jail when I decided to come back to the gospel. I think for me, it's funny because I'm just like, of all places.
Yeah.
I got hit the hardest with the Spirit in jail, right? I remember kneeling down, asking Heavenly Father. I said, Heavenly Father, you know, I didn't do the proper, you know, dear, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I was like, bro, just straight up like I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah.
I'm struggling. I need your help. Got to bring everything back in, don't. I said, I need your help. Like, I'm in jail. I'm looking at 5 to 15 years if I'm convicted.
Yeah.
For attempted manslaughter. You know, I beat the crap out of this dude bad. Like, he was in coma, right? I was like, I'll do anything. I'll go to church. I'll be, you know. And it got to the point where I got real, you know. And I got emotional. And I just said, I need to go back to church. I don't care if it's Catholic, Episcopal, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I need to go back because that's where I feel safe. Lead me to a place where it's going to help me grow mentally, spiritually, physically. And it led me right back to the LDS church. And I said, okay, I guess I'm supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came to the conclusion, like, you know what? I'm not here for this punk-ass bishop. Oh, sorry for my language. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not here for him.
Yeah.
I'm not here for the sake president. I'm not here. I'm here because my connection.
Yeah.
You told me to come back, I'm here, you know? And that's what it was for me. You know, that's what really helped me out. And when I received those priesthood keys, I hold them dear in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe in them so much. And I believe in the power of those keys that we hold, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I hold on to is those keys. And even when I fell away, I had my testimony to hold on to. Even when I never bashed the church.
Yeah.
Never. You know, I see a lot of people that bash the church, and I'm not here to tell them, hey, you don't do that. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
They have their reasons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to them, their reasons are valid.
Yeah.
Okay, I respect that. But I never did because I had that testimony that I held on to. And I think that's what I held on to when I prayed.
Yeah.
That was such a spiritual experience for me, right? Because never in my life have I ever felt my prayers go through. Every time I prayed, it felt numb.
Yeah.
You know, you ever felt like that before?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And coming to the conclusion of this time, my time isn't his time, right? He's the one that runs the show. It's his time. He'll. But it was like an immediate hand on my shoulder. I got you. Follow me, you know? So that's what I did, right back into the church. And, you know, I'm there. I'm happy. I love it. I'm probably one of the realest members that you're going to, you know, I'll tell you like it is.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think that's what people need. That's what people want.
Yeah. And to get up there and say, and again, my own opinion, my own testimony. Do I believe this church is true? No. Because man's a part of it. I said that before. Man's a part of it. We're sinful people. We're not true.
Yeah.
But that's why we go to church.
Mm-hmm.
To find that truth. Is the gospel truth? Heck yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Through and through. You know, I love this gospel. I love the people. And it's good to start seeing, especially Utah, kind of letting go of the grip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, allowing it to become what it really is.
Yeah.
In my ward, I mean, we got people that are tatted, nose rings, earrings. They're the ones with the real testimony.
Yeah.
They've been through life.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that need to be up in there. You know what I'm saying? Not the ones with the...
same haircut. I know exactly what you're going to say. I'll just leave it right there. The same haircut.
We need that right there.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's a place of... For me, it should be a place of non-judgment.
Yeah.
Right? If my daughter... Or my son, or whatever, my daughter comes in with a skirt up to here. It's not your place to judge.
Yeah.
I can judge her because she's my daughter.
Exactly.
It's not your place.
Mm-hmm.
If old boy goes out, smokes a cigarette, comes back in, it's not your place to judge.
Mm-hmm.
Those doors are open to everyone.
Yeah.
Of any kind, right? So bringing that respect to anyone I meet, I'm always up to fellowship. First and foremost,
mm-hmm.
and love the person in front of me.
Yeah.
That's my main goal.
Yeah.
If they want to know about the gospel, I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, I ain't tripping.
Yeah.
We're friends. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I bring to the table when it comes to my religion. And you brought it up and you said being Black and Mormon. What? Are you kidding? You guys were denied the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being Native American. And a Christian, your own culture, you know, you guys are connected. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I choose what I want.
Yeah.
I choose my happiness, and this is my happiness.
Oh, that's huge.
If you don't like it, my bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I tell people the same way. I am who I am. Who I'm not, I'll never be. And people can deal with it. Or they can connect with me. I want to ask you, because a big part of your life is music. Yeah, and so I'd really love to know, how has music to help you either to grow or to overcome the challenges?
Yes, music is a huge part of my life. Growing up, my mom always would play Motown. She'd always play Temptations, Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, Smokey Robinson. The list goes on forever. That's what she brought me up on. She brought me up on ceremonial Native American songs. That was my first love for music, was singing Native.
Okay.
I do that my whole life, you know. But music has always impacted my spirit, even when I didn't understand what was going on. They would play a song, and I'm like, why am I feeling emotional?
Yeah.
You know, when I hear music, even when I sing, I've always seen colors. And depending on what those colors look like is how my mood is going to be, right?
Okay.
Some songs are bright, vibrant, beautiful colors. Some colors are dark.
Yeah.
And I can feel it going right into my soul, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some colors are bold and uplifting that, you know, brings you, you're like, all right, motivation, let's get it.
Yeah.
So it has a huge impact in my life. Like I mentioned, 2016. I tried committing suicide, and I'm glad that it didn't work, that I'm still here, right? And so I turned to music. I've always sang, but I never sang in front of a camera. I never put myself out there as a soloist because I wanted to stay humble.
Yeah.
You know, but now I'm like, nah, my voice needs to be heard.
Yeah.
My message.
Share your talents with the world.
And I'm not necessarily here for the fame, but I know being on that camera and lights or whatever, lights, camera, action, fame comes with it. My main goal is message.
Yeah.
I'm sharing this message to help because music was my light when times were hard. You know, so I made this song called Love Me Today, and I sing about how I fight with depression. And my goal is to put that out there for someone else to, you know, if this guy's fighting, I can fight.
Yeah.
I say fighting because I'll never say that I suffer from it, because once I do, I feel like it has an upper hand on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll always say that I fight. I'll fight every day. Win these little battles, eventually I'm going to win the war, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, music is everything. When I'm scared, I'll sing Amazing Grace. It's one of my go-to songs. When I'm excited, I'll hum, you know? And so, but that's my gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad Heavenly Father gave that to me.
Yeah.
To give to others.
Yeah.
Now I remember what I was going to say. I asked myself this question because there's times in my life where I'm done being broke. I need money. I need to work. You know, if I need to work my butt off, 100 hours a week, whatever, I'll do it.
Yeah,
I got bills to pay. Right. I want to take my kids to Disneyland. I've never been. They never been.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, that requires money.
Yeah,
I'm broke. I'm broke. I'm not scared to say that. And it hit me so hard, even when I had a job, even when my wife was working, we still broke.
Yeah.
You know? People see me on TV singing, they think I got no. Yeah, I got paid. Just enough to pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm still broke. And I remember asking myself, because I got pretty emotional about it. And I'm like, dang, can't get ahead of the game. I'm ready to give up. This sucks, you know? And I asked myself before I went to bed, I said, Abe, would you truly be happy if you were rich? If you had millions, if you had billions, would you be happy? And at the moment, I'm like, heck yeah, I would. You know, countless freaking food venues I can hit up, you know what I'm saying? And I went to sleep. I went to bed. I'm laying in bed. Right before I went to sleep, I got the answer, no. Like, it was like a, you hear some of these testimonies, like, oh, a voice spoke to me, you know. And I heard it, like, straight up in my ear, no. I was like, and I sat up, and I was like, and I felt it, and I was like, you know, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd be straight miserable. And then I was like, but what would make me happy was to give.
Yeah.
I would love to be a secret Santa. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to give to families who are less fortunate. I would, and not take the glory for it, but give it to the man upstairs.
Yeah.
Because he blessed me with that, right?
Yeah.
With the finances and stuff. And so from that day on, like, I really worked towards to try to make a lot of money. Is it working now? No. I'm still broke, you know, but I still give what I get.
Yeah.
Right? I was just talking to a friend at the gym. And I told her, you know, she was being honest. And I told her, I said, can I be a little honest too? I was like, I'm doing full-time music right now. I would love for one of my songs to pop off so I can gain the wealth from it to get out of debt.
Yeah.
I said, I'm $15,000 in debt, medical bills, credit card, because I got sick last year. And I put my application out, all these jobs. Almost, it's a daily thing for me, you know, to try to get a part-time job or something to help my wife bring in the money because we're so far behind. I said, but if I allow that to discourage me, I'm not going like this. As long as I'm going forward or even up,
yeah,
I'm good. But if I allow that to discourage me, I stay right there.
Yeah.
It doesn't allow me to grow. I was like, so what am I going to do? I'm going to keep putting applications in until I find something. I'm going to keep singing until something pops off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And She's like, you know what? You're right. I'm gonna do the same thing today, right now. I'm discouraged, and I'm gonna keep moving forward. I said, because once we stop, it'll stack.
Yeah.
You know, I said, but the more we walk and we carry those with us, the more the possibility of stuff breaking off while we walk and things getting lighter is a better chance.
Yeah. One step at a time,
you know. And, you know, I'm putting my music out there. Me and my brother, like I mentioned, we started this little group called The Real Native Soul. Anybody heard our music?
Yeah.
It's out on Spotify, right?
Yeah.
We don't get any plays and stuff. But we understand that we're a brand new group, and it takes work and consistency for our music to be heard.
Yeah.
And we're willing to put that in, right? So I really have full confidence in myself of being persistent and staying persistent.
Yeah.
Consistency. One of these days, something's going to pop off. Maybe even after I pass, one of my songs will still, I'll be on the other side and be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, you know? But, you know, just because man, I never was really one to ask for help, but I did a couple times, you know, like Bishop's Warehouse, you know, because we were behind on bills and stuff. But I'm done. I'm done asking for help. You know, I'm in it. Like, let's get it. I'm done asking for help. And I mean, I even got a bill with my sound engineer to ask me for music that I'm paying on. But he was like, dude, don't worry about that. You can make payments. All good. Let's make this music.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, let's get it. You know, let's do it. And one of the biggest things for me is I hate doing payments. I'd rather pay you off once.
Yeah.
Right? Just bam, pay you off. Let's do it. But I have to accept it. And so that's what I'm doing right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
One of my songs and people are going to be like, dude. You know,
Keep going. Your music is amazing. Your voice is a gift and a talent. I think all my friends have heard you sing, and my family, and even myself. I listen to a lot of your songs most days at the gym. It's on my gym playlist. I've shifted from the hardcore rap and hip hop music at the gym to, I like music that allows me to think, because the gym is my space and my place where I can connect with myself. So I like music that keeps me calm, and I can feel the weight that I'm moving and what I'm going through. I would love to end this podcast with how we started. In my mind, I was thinking I'd love to have you do a Christmas song, but your song, Love Me Today, if you don't mind sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's an amazing song. Ooh. For people out there fighting. And
that's a hard song to sing. man. I would love to sing, but it is so hard. I can try.
What about Mary Did You Know?
Ooh, I can sing that one.
Let's do that one. That's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Even though it's still a hard song, but let's get it.
We believe in you.
Let's get it. First, I got to pop the lyrics up, because your boy is bad with lyrics. Save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy would come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm
with his hands. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels run? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of our land. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect land? A sleepy child you're holding is a great
Thank you.
I love it, brother. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.